You're listening to Everything is Workable, a podcast that examines how every experience, every situation, every moment is an opportunity to work with our mind. I'm your host, Caitlin Hatch, creative polymath and dedicated consumer of Dharma talks, Dharma books, self-help books, and the wisdom of others. I started this podcast as a way of showing my gratitude for these teachings and to expand my own understanding. Thank you so much for tuning in. Today, my topic is fearlessness. Right, this is kind of a big topic, and it's one that I've explored a bit through some of my Dharma art, and to be honest, much of this is going to be based on my past exploration, which was done about 2 years ago. It's a topic that I think is really good, and it's a really interesting approach because it's kind of controversial, really, in our time in West and stuff, the idea of fearlessness. I think we really seem to have a mentality, not that fear is good, but that it would be naive to think that you can be fearless or that there's some sort of denial at play. So really, in my experience and when I was studying it, teachings on fearlessness can definitely be difficult to grasp, which is why I wanted to do this episode. Because I didn't exactly struggle to grasp the concept on an intellectual level when I was first studying it. Truly embracing teachings, like living them though, that proved to be quite a challenge. So it was like I could understand intellectually what was being pointed at when the topic of fearlessness was being discussed, but how to actually live with that kind of attitude was a much bigger challenge. So to begin with, I think it's really important, as usual with these things, to go into some definitions. Understanding what fearlessness is from teachings that were originally written in Tibetan or Sanskrit can cause a bit of a muddle. How we define a word can really change how we talk about a word or how we feel about a word. And having a new definition of it, or a definition that's slightly different than what we would assume, can really challenge those ways of thinking. And I know it definitely did for me. So, for example, with some of the translations from the original Tibetan or Sanskrit words, fearlessness can sometimes be described as unconditional confidence, which might sound a little bit delusional, right? Like, confident no matter what? Really? I don't know. Or no fear ever? I mean, that could be foolish, right? Even dangerous? Like, fearlessness could lead to cockiness and making poor choices and, you know, being invincible. But that would be a misunderstanding of the word and of the teachings and what it means. The idea isn't that we are, if we're fearless, that we're unflappable or untouched by the challenges of life. It doesn't mean that we think we're invincible either. It's not an ideal of perfection where we're sitting there with a beatific smile on our face and nothing really bothers you in the slightest. And it isn't about being naive or ignorant to danger at all. So that's what it isn't, then what is fearlessness? It wasn't until I heard a particular talk by Pema Chodron, which I'm pretty sure is True Happiness. It's available from Sounds True, or you can get it on iTunes. And listening to it really began to make more sense for me. Like, the concept of fearlessness began to make more sense for me on a much deeper level. In her talk, she shares how her teacher once asked her to describe what fear felt like for her. And she told him that it was hard. It was like a rock that was sitting in her chest, like sort of right in her solar plexus. And he laughed and said, "Well, that's not fear. That's resistance to fear." So Slight deviation here, because if we're going to talk about fearlessness and we're going to talk about fear, we are talking about suffering. And suffering, I think, also really needs to be defined in the context of all of this. So, quick definition of suffering. The Buddha's teachings began with the Four Noble Truths. The first noble truth being that life is suffering, which sounds really depressing, I know, but bear with me. Suffering, in this context, it's not saying the painful stuff we face is suffering. Suffering isn't that we'll be ill or that people we love will be ill, and it's not that we're going to grow old and die, or that we won't even get to grow old and we'll just die. Suffering is that we resist the impermanence of life. Suffering is what we feel when we resist or ignore those facts. We resist or ignore the fact that we will get ill, that we will die, that people we love will die, that things are impermanent. Suffering is effectively resisting the fact that sometimes life is painful. And the thing is, life is painful, but it's also immensely joyful. And it's exciting and confusing and weird and adventurous. Point is, life is never just one way, and also nothing lasts forever. That is impermanence. That's the essence of it, and that's the essence of what is real, what is true. So suffering arises because we cling to things that we like and we push away or resist painful aspects. Suffering effectively arises because we wish that things could be different than how they are. We wish that life could be just one easy, comfortable way, and then if it isn't one easy, comfortable way, that really bothers us. And that is what makes us afraid, because we don't have that ability to control. So, coming back to fearlessness, then, resistance to fear is about not being willing to feel an inevitable emotion or to stay with an uncomfortable experience or situation. And that's, for me, in my understanding, really what's at the heart of suffering. Because what we do is we put up walls and we wrap ourselves in cocoons so that the world doesn't touch us with anything that makes us uncomfortable. And we do that because we so don't want to feel fearful. We want to push the fear away instead of examining it. So the cocoons that we create, I mean, they come in all shapes and sizes. Actually, in one of the talks that Pema gives, she describes them as bubbles. It's quite funny. She talks about how we have shopping bubbles and relationship bubbles and food bubbles and fitness bubbles and drinking bubbles and drug bubbles and TV bubbles. And we have spirituality bubbles as well. That's actually quite a big one. I'm always very aware about whether or not I'm creating a spirituality bubble. And for a while, actually, I did. I did because I was really resistant to fear. I was really resistant to my anxiety. I wanted to put something up between myself and the anxiety that I felt, as if it was something I could get rid of and push away, and that it needed to be gotten rid of and pushed away. So, we have these things that we put up between ourselves and our experience because we're resistant to our experience. And we're trying to get away from really being present, because there are parts of being present that we don't like. And the things that we don't like are the things that make us feel afraid. So it's that resistance to just letting ourselves feel afraid. And this might seem like a great defense mechanism because it does shield us from painful things. It does for a little while. But it is really short term. Like, we'll feel really agitated or upset by something. And we go to buy something so that we can get like a hormonal hit of pleasure. And, or I don't know, we drink a third glass of wine just to numb out a little bit more. Or we decide we're gonna smoke that joint, and that way we don't really have to think about something that was bothering us. Or we go and veg in front of the television for several hours to completely distract our mind from something that's been going on. And for the time that we're doing those things, we might feel great. But then the fear isn't going to go away. The painful situation, it doesn't go anywhere. And so then we also have the hangover because we've just put something off. We've put off feeling and connecting to our world and our experience. And that doesn't feel great. I mean, the hangovers, they can be really tangible as well. Like, it could become debt that builds up because we're always spending money to try and make ourselves feel better, to buy the right thing and the good thing to make us happy. And you can't buy happiness. Or it could be an actual literal hangover that you have because we drank so much to try and drown how we feel in some sort of oblivion. We could have a groggy, brain numb sort of a hangover from spending so much time watching television. And then on top of that, like I said, whatever it is that we're trying to escape from with our bubbler or cocoon, whatever you want to call it, it's still there. So we can tell ourselves everything is just fine and peachy keen for so long. We can. But denial merely masks the truth, and it creates a ticking time bomb. We're avoiding being really present with ourselves, and that's what compounds things. Which brings me back to fearlessness. Fearlessness is not about putting on a brave face or ignoring these things that scare us. That's what we do because of fear. And because of our resistance to fear. It's not about shrugging off life's challenges as if they don't matter. Fearlessness is about accepting the impermanence of life. It's about stepping into the groundless quality of life and experience. About being open to letting life touch us. It's not about being ignorant or naive. It's about being aware. It's being aware that the rug will be pulled out from under us. Things will fall apart. We will be let down. We will experience abuse and pain. We'll be sad. We'll be angry. We'll be disappointed. We'll have to grieve. That's life. And the good times won't last forever. We will experience amazing joys and highs and incredible happiness in our lives. And we can enjoy those moments without clinging to them, knowing that they won't last forever, but while they're there, they're worth appreciating. Fearlessness is seeing all of those things and seeing that, as difficult as it may be, we know that it won't all last forever. The bad things won't last forever. The good things won't last forever. But because the bad things won't last forever either, we can survive them. Because we're willing to take care of ourselves and willing to show up for ourselves. We have this really incredible tool in that while we can't change our external circumstances, we can change how we choose to think about them. We can change our state of mind. Again, it's all workable, and this is why it's all workable. It's because of having a willingness to work with our mind no matter what comes up that we can be fearless. So we see the truth of suffering, and then we see our ability to work with that. Effectively, to be fearless is to allow ourselves to feel all of our emotions, to accept the painful aspects of life, and that they are just as temporary as the joyful ones, and to even, eventually, as we practice, to embrace all of that. There's a beautiful quote from Rainier Maria Rilke that illustrates this perfectly. I think it's actually from a poem that he wrote, in fact. Let everything happen to you. Beauty and terror, just keep going. No feeling is final. And that is totally about fearlessness. Life is rich. And when we open to it, to all of it, we really genuinely have nothing to fear. If you want to know more on this topic and listen to more about it, I really, really highly recommend listening to From Fear to Fearlessness by Annie Pemachodron, which is available through iTunes or Sounds True Recordings. And as I mentioned before as well, True Happiness is another one, also Annie Pema, of course. Both of those are really in-depth looks of how to live fearlessly. They're great stuff. And to be honest, pretty much everything that Annie Pema writes as well is about this. It's about stepping into groundlessness and showing up for yourself and the willingness to do that. Thank you so much for listening to Everything is Workable. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, share with your friends, or post it to social media. You can also consider becoming a patron, which has really cool perks like getting art prints or a signed book in the post. Just click the green Become a Patron button on the Everything is Workable Podbean page. Thank you as well to the very talented Dexter Britton for sharing his music with the world so that I could use it for this podcast. You can find more of his stuff on www.dexterbritton.co.uk. And you can find more of my stuff at faunawolfcreations.com.